your Bibles, I want to invite you to open them to Luke chapter 2 this morning. I told you our story for the program was a little bit different. It wasn't about originally the birth of our Savior, but a time when Israel was in darkness, in sin, and God raised up a godly young man to become the king and began to obey the law. And what a great account in Scripture how King Josiah saw the need for the people to get back to the right worship of God and so and observe the Passover. So he provided a lamb for the people. He gave thousands of animals to the people so that they could observe the Passover and worship God. And of course, that Passover lamb is a picture of Christ who would come. The one we celebrate today, that one who was born in a lowly manger, not just a lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. And so all through the Bible, you see pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that crimson thread that runs from beginning to end. He is throughout the whole Bible. The whole book is about our Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning as we look into the Word of God, I want to share with you another account that's maybe not so familiar, something most of you have studied a little bit, I'm sure, but it's not something we always talk about at Christmas time. Of course, we hear about the angel coming to Mary, and we hear about Joseph's vision and the angel coming to him in a dream and telling him that Mary was going to bear a child that would be the Son of God and that he shouldn't put her away. We read about and remember and recount the story of how Mary and Joseph came at the time of taxing. You know, they're living down in Nazareth, and just at the right time, God prompted the king's heart, the emperor's heart, to call them up. So they would have to go and be in Bethlehem at just the right time. Imagine that. God used that wicked ruler to prompt them to go and be in Bethlehem at exactly the right time. So Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, just like the scripture said. And we talk about that, how the angels came and appeared to the shepherds out in the field. And we hear about how they came. And even later on, sometime after even what we're going to talk about this morning, the wise men come from the far east and they come to worship the young child, the king of the Jews. By the way, when a child's born, normally a child that's born wouldn't be born king, they'd be born prince at most, right? But Jesus was born king. He is the Prince of Peace, but he was born king of the Jews and king of kings and Lord of lords. But then I want to tell you, after his birth, Jesus Christ went through all of the things that any Jew was supposed to go through in order to keep the law. And I want you to notice a few things with me this morning. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is the perfect gift. How many of you have already exchanged some Christmas gifts? Anybody give and receive some gifts? Anybody get anything good? Something good? Anybody get something not good? Better not raise your hand right now. Mama's watching. Yeah, we love to give and exchange gifts. I'm not gonna lie, I like to get gifts. That doesn't hurt my feelings, but I really love to give gifts. It's better to give than to receive. I love to give gifts. I love to see my kids' faces light up when you get them something and they're excited about it. Man, it's so fun. And every once in a while you get something that's just absolutely perfect. I mean, it's just something that you need. Something that you want, something that you would be excited to get. And everybody ever gotten a gift like that? I mean, something you really needed it, something you could really use, something you really wanted, and something that was just, you were excited to get it. Anybody ever get it? Man, most of you people have had horrible Christmases, I see. Bad birthdays too, I guess. I tell you, I get excited. I like presents, man. It's fun. It's exciting. But I want to tell you something. When God sent us his unspeakable gift, when he sent us the Lord Jesus Christ, he sent us the perfect gift. He sent us exactly what we needed. And he sent us exactly what every human being deep down in their heart wants. Now, they may not even know it, but Jesus Christ is fulfillment of all of our needs and all of our wants. He is the desire of all nations. And when Jesus came, the desire of all nations came into the world, and he is the perfect gift. So if you're able, let's stand and honor the Word of God, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. I promise to preach fast this morning if you promise to listen fast. But if it looks like you're listening slow, I'm going to preach slower. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, the Word of God says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child," so Jesus has been born, and 8 days later, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So Jesus, on the eighth day, was circumcised and officially named just exactly like the law said. On the eighth day, the male child was to be circumcised. Jesus was circumcised exactly according to the law. And Joseph and Mary named him exactly what the angel of the Lord had told them to do. Verse 22, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, when a woman gave birth to a son, she had 40 days of purification, 40 days that she was to be set aside and not come into the temple, not come into the places of worship. She had to stay away from those things for 40 days as a sign that she needed to be purified of the blood of bringing a male child into the world. And so 40 days, so 8 days he was circumcised and named. 40 days later, when the law of purification was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 23, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Please help us to rightly divide it, understand it today. Lord, I pray that every person in the room today that's of age has repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ alone, that they've been born again, received the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. But Lord, I pray if there is someone here today who has never been saved, that today would be the day that they would repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, and pray, Lord, cry out to you and receive that gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray for all who are saved that we would just rejoice in the salvation that you've given us, for the unspeakable gift you've given us in your Son, Jesus. We pray you'd get honor and glory from our lives and that you'd help us to love you, live for you, and be witnesses for you in a greater way. Please bless your word now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A little bit of a long reading, but I want to make sure that we get through this all and we see. So Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and we'll talk about that just a little bit this morning. And just as a side note, just to make sure I don't miss this, I want you to know that Jesus Christ was born of the Holy Ghost. And Luke repeatedly makes sure that we understand that. That Joseph was his earthly father, he was adopted father, but he was not his real father, his biological father. It was a miracle. The Holy Spirit came on Mary, and she conceived and brought forth for the Son. So Mary was the mother of Christ, but Joseph was not really his father. And he makes a point to point that out to us a couple of times here. You'll notice in verse 33, Joseph and his mother. He makes sure that you understand. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. And so the Word of God constantly is pointing out these truths, these vital truths, and we'll see why it's so vital just now. Notice a few things about how Jesus is perfect. Notice that he's perfect in his nativity. By the way, if you didn't know, nativity means birth. And specifically, when it's capitalized, it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the word nativity means. And Jesus Christ had a perfect birth. What I mean by that is he was born without sin. Well, how is that possible? Well, listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now listen, fellas, you need to understand something today, that the sin nature that carries on in this world is our fault. How does that work, preacher? I don't know. I don't know how that works, but I know this, that when there's an earthly father, sin is passed on to the next generation. When there's no earthly father, then the sin isn't passed on. Well, how do you know that? Because Jesus Christ was born without sin and he had no earthly father. He had an earthly mother, but no earthly father. He goes on to say in Romans 5, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So Adam was a figure of Jesus Christ, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one unto condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Listen to this, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And you need to understand today, friends, that Jesus Christ was born of the Holy Ghost. He was born of a virgin, and there he was born in perfection. He had no sin. And like Adam was created without sin, so Jesus Christ was born without sin. And he was perfect in his nativity. He started out without a sin nature that every one of us is born with. You say, well, how can you say everybody's a sinner? Well, the Bible says so. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen, if you were born of an earthly father, you were born with a sin nature. What I'm trying to tell you today, friends, is that original sin, the sin of Adam, is on us. We are under the condemnation of original sin. You need to understand today, friends, that if you never did anything wrong, you would still be guilty before a holy God. And that may be hard for some of us to admit, but the fact is, if you never sinned, you would still be guilty in the eyes of God because we are of the seed of Adam. And you say, well, that's not really fair that God would place that on us, but it's in our nature. It's in who we are. We're born with it. Now listen, do any of you have a hard time believing that we're born with a sin nature? Right, let me ask you, how many of you guys have kids? How many of you had to teach your toddlers to lie? Now, you might argue that they watched you and learned how, which could be true of most of us, at least guys like me and Brother Mike. But the fact is, we know that they're born with a sin nature. We see it. From the very earliest, we see that evil, sinful nature come forth. But Jesus Christ wasn't born that way. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus Christ born without sin. That means when he was a baby, he was without sin. When he was a toddler, he was without sin. Jesus never had terrible twos. And I don't know about your kids, but mine start with terrible ones and twos and threes and until they get big enough you can beat it out of them. I mean, well, anyway. Spare the rod, spoil the child, right? I'm just telling you that Jesus Christ, can you imagine? Now, some of you are like, I would dream. It would be awesome to have a perfect child. Man, Joseph and Mary, they got off easy. This was awesome. But can you imagine that his sinless perfection as he went through his life, what that was like for them? It's hard to wrap my mind around. Some of you are like, I would like to have been them. But his nativity, he was perfect in his nativity. Notice also that he was perfect legally. Listen, Jesus Christ, even as a tiny baby, because, by the way, Mary was a righteous young woman. Of all the young women in Israel, God chose her because she was righteous, because she loved the Lord, because her heart was pure. And then you look at Joseph, and Joseph, the Holy Spirit of God, declares that he was a just man. He was righteous before God. This young couple was a righteous young couple. They were separated from other people. They were chosen by God because of their heart before the Lord. And these people, they even in his infancy, they followed the letter of the law. And Jesus fulfilled all the law through his godly parents. He was circumcised as he was supposed to be. And all of these things presented to the Lord as the firstborn. And all of those things that were supposed to happen. Now, he was the firstborn son. That meant that he belonged to God. The law said that everything that opens the matrix, the womb, belongs to the Lord, and it had to be redeemed. And so they came and they redeemed Jesus. They paid the 5 shekels according to the law, and they did those things because they fulfilled all things. Jesus Christ fulfilled all things according to the law. He said as much in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And I want you to understand something today. A lot of people think that there's the God of the Old Testament, that he's vengeful and hateful and full of wrath, and then the God of the New Testament is different, that he's love and grace. I want you to know that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, and the Lord is the same. He has always been just and judged sin rightly, but he has always been gracious and loving and long-suffering. And Jesus didn't come to throw away the law. No, he came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. He fulfills it all. Luke 24:44, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And Jesus said, "I'm going to fulfill all of the scriptures." He was perfect in his nativity. He was born in perfection, but he was also perfect legally. He fulfilled all the law. Every commandment in the law, Jesus fulfilled the every letter. When I first got saved and started learning a few things, I don't know if you ever went through this journey, but I want to tell you, if you start in Genesis, start reading through your Bible and start trying to do everything the Bible says, when you get to Leviticus, it gets tough. And if you start there and you don't realize that God's done away with a lot of that stuff in Christ, then you get messed up. Stop eating catfish. Stop eating bacon. Pretty sure those are my kids. I mean, you'll start checking your shirts to make sure you don't have any blends. I mean, that's what the law said, right? You can't even have a garment that's got some cotton and some wool put together. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you start there and you start looking at these things, but I want you to understand something. Jesus fulfilled every letter of the law. And you and me, if we start trying to fulfill every letter of the law, we're going to get real discouraged. And one of two things is going to happen. I've got some dear friends that think they can be sinlessly perfect, and it breaks my heart for them. You need to understand, Jesus Christ was sinlessly perfect. Nobody else is ever going to come close to that. It's impossible. You start trying to keep the law, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to get discouraged and you're going to give up. Because you're going to wake up one day and say, "I can't do this." That's right. You can't do this. That was the purpose of the law. It's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The whole purpose is the law to show us we need a Savior because we don't measure up to God's standard. And you're either going to get discouraged or you're going to lie to yourself and tell yourself you're better than you really are. Some of you are like, "Yeah, that's me." We start to think that we're doing better than we really are. But friends, I don't think you and I can understand how perfect and holy Christ truly is. And when you understand the grace of God and how Christ fulfilled it all, you will become amazed and realize that your only hope is the one who did fulfill all the law and the prophets. Kept every law. Perfectly sinless, our Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect in his nativity. He was perfect legally, and he was perfect morally. He was perfect morally. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that," or "in order that," so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you don't know anything about yourself today, know this: you are not righteous before God in your own. You have no goodness, no righteousness. The very, very best that we could offer to God is as filthy rags. Listen, if you're going to depend on your very, very best moment, listen to me. If you could just select a few seconds of your entire life, say you live to be 90 years old and you could just pick 5 seconds when you lived the very best, prayed your very best prayer, loved God with all your heart. If you could pick that and say, this is what I'm going to take to God so I can get into heaven. Friend, you will be cast into hell faster than you can turn around. The very, very best that we have to offer is nothing. We have no hope of righteousness in ourselves. It goes against our very nature. No, friend, we've got to come to a place that we don't depend on our righteousness, but we depend on the righteousness of Christ and all that he was, because he fulfilled all the law and the prophets, because he knew no sin, but he became sin for us so that we could be made righteous through him. You see, you start preaching what the Bible teaches about our filthiness and our wickedness and our sin and our unrighteousness. People get upset. They don't like that. And they say, well, then how can anybody be saved? And the answer is, I'm glad you asked that. Through Jesus Christ is the only way anyone could be saved. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Verse 22 says this of Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And friends, that babe that was born in that lowly manger, that boy grew up and he lived a sinless life, and then he suffered a horrible death. He was beaten and he was scourged and he was mocked, and they spit in his face and they put the crown of thorns on his head, and then they compelled him to carry his cross, but he couldn't because he'd lost so much blood. They had to get someone else to carry the cross, and when they got him to the top of that hill called Golgotha, they nailed his hands and they nailed his feet and they lifted him up there in front of everyone, naked and bleeding and carrying our sin and our shame. And as if all that wasn't enough, then the Heavenly Father, he took all of the sin of all mankind and he placed it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became sin for us, who had lived without sin, who had fulfilled all the law and the prophets, who never did anything wrong, never even said anything wrong, never thought anything wrong. And he took all of our sin on himself on Calvary's cross. And that lowly lamb that was born in a manger became the sacrificial lamb for our sins. And today people say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I'm gonna do good works, and they're trusting in their works to get them to heaven. Do you have any idea what insult that is to God? Right. Listen, friends, if you're trusting in Jesus plus anything else, you got it wrong. It's Christ alone. Trust in him. He bore our sins. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, being dead in sins, should live unto righteousness. So that we were dead in sin, we became dead to sin, so that we could live in righteousness. Jesus Christ knew no sin. He did no sin. 1 John 3, verses 4 and 5 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus Christ is the perfect gift. He's the consolation of Israel. He was not only the consolation of Israel, he was the light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. And in our text, I want you to notice just a couple of things very quickly before we close. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 29 and 30, Simeon said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. I want you to understand this. The Holy Spirit of God had come to this man, Simeon. He said, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Christ, the Savior of the world. And it appears to me in Scripture that he got this message from God sometime, that it had been probably years, that he had waited, that he had longed for, that he had looked for Christ. And by the way, we ought to be longing for Christ's return. We ought to be longing for it, looking for it. But can you imagine just for a second what it was like for Simeon? That God said, you will not die until you see the Christ. And so one night he's sitting at dinner and his wife says, honey, you really not, I'm not eat that. It's not good for your heart. I won't die. Or maybe he's getting up in years. I think Simeon was probably an older man, and he's out there trying to take care of things. He's climbing up on the roof of the house to try to fix the roof or something. His wife says, honey, you really got to get down. You're going to fall and break your neck. I won't die. Can you imagine what it was like for Simeon? Just think about it. You're not going to die until you see Jesus. Now, I don't think Simeon was the kind of man that would tempt the Lord by being stupid, like some of us. But just imagine that every day he waited, every day he longed, and the Bible says that he came in the Spirit to the temple. That means that on the very day, he didn't know anything about Joseph and Mary. He didn't know anything about that poor couple from Nazareth that had come to Bethlehem. He didn't know anything about it. And when they came into the temple, they came to the outer court where the women could go, and there were probably thousands of people milling around. And one day when Simeon got up, the Holy Spirit put it on his heart. He just impressed upon him, you need to go to the temple today. And so he happened to get up and go the day that Mary and Joseph were there. And there they are with all these probably thousands of other people milling around out there in the temple in the outer courtyard. And there were lots of people that were doing things there and coming for purification or bringing sacrifices or sin offerings. And all this stuff was going on that day. And it just so happened that the Holy Spirit of God brought Simeon right to the place where Mary and Joseph were, and he brought them together. And the Holy Spirit, when Simeon laid eyes on that baby Jesus, he said, that's him. That's the Savior of the world. The Christ is here. Can you imagine what it was like? All those days and months and years he had been waiting, longing for the Savior to come, and then he laid eyes on this little baby. And he goes over to him, and he takes him in his arms, and he held God in his arms. And because he had seen Jesus, not just with his eyes, but by faith, he believed. He said, Lord, let me depart now in peace. You know what he said? I'm ready to die. Lord, take me out of this world. Lord, I'm ready to go to heaven. Because he had seen Jesus, he was ready to die, and he was ready to die in peace. Now answer me this. What does a man or a woman or a boy or a girl need more than that? What gift could you have better than to have your heart and soul prepared to depart this world in peace? Now, there have been people who are ready to die. They were suffering and they were tired and they were tired of fighting and they're ready to die. There have been people who have been willing to die, to sacrifice themselves, but what I'm talking about, friends, is something different. I'm talking about a heart and a soul that says, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to come to be with you. I'm ready. And it all comes because we've seen Jesus by faith. I have seen thy salvation, which has come for all people. Jesus was something special, friends. He was a light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And this morning, while we're getting ready right now for an invitation, I want to ask you, have you received that unspeakable gift? Has there been a moment in your life where you repented of your sin? You put all your faith and trust in Christ alone? Do you believe in him? Are you trusting in him with all your heart? Have you been born again? Do you know for sure today you're going to heaven when this life is over? Friend, if you don't, listen, it doesn't matter what you've said in the past. It doesn't matter what you've done. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ has paid for all of our sin. And he stands ready and willing to welcome anyone into heaven who would come to him by faith. Have you trusted in him? And if you've trusted in him, if you know him, are you living your life for him? Let's stand together. We're going to sing number 521. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart today, you need to trust in Jesus to be saved. You need to commit your life to serve him, whatever it is. If he's calling you, would you come?